What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. The history the government hopes you never learn. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome to our show today. It is Wednesday, October 10th, 2018, middle of the weekday, hump day, starting that long, slow glide down to Pow Hana Friday. We have a lot of stuff to talk about today. There's an awful lot going on here. And we have a guest in our third hour, Jason Eastman. He's just started up a new company, Armor Combat Systems. He's one of our newest advertisers. And I asked him to come on the show because what he is selling is an item or items, plural, about which I get a lot of emails. So I thought we'd have him on the show to talk about that. Obviously, the big story right now is Hurricane Michael. It's made landfall on Florida's Gulf Coast near Mexico Beach. It's a very strong Cat 4, almost Cat 5. It is the biggest storm to hit the United States in 50 years. It's the strongest storm on record to ever hit the panhandle, and it is just causing all kinds of misery out there. It's moving northeast right now at about 15 miles an hour, and it's the center of the storm is going to continue right on up into Georgia and the Carolinas, like they needed another storm this soon, and into Virginia. In fact, right now, the eye of the storm is forecast to pass right over Norfolk, Virginia. And I can imagine right now they're scrambling to get all those ships out of that harbor and as far out to sea as they can to prevent damage. That's what they did here in Pearl Harbor when we were looking at our hurricanes. They just got them out there. So it's nasty. And I feel bad for all those people having to go through that. I've been through a couple of hurricanes myself, not quite that bad. But it's definitely nasty. Anyway, the phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. That's 800-313-9443. Michael is in our control room. We have too many Michaels. I'm a Michael. He's a Michael. The hurricane is Michael. I suppose the one bright spot in all of this is when you have a named storm that is historic, they retire the name. Otherwise, they reuse them over and over. And they've used the name Michael for tropical storms in the past, but this will be the last one. So anyway, let's get right on into it. Democrats in Florida are suing to extend Florida voter registration period because of the hurricane, which is, I think, a little cynical. I would presume these people have got a lot more important things to worry about than voter registration. But, you know, the Democrats, they want to just they're grabbing every advantage that they can. And I think it strikes me as a little cold-hearted. It really, really, really does. Okay. Getting on back to Nikki Haley. A lot of people are curious about the sudden resignation, although the official story is that Trump and Haley were talking about this 6 months ago. But a lot of people are starting to wonder if she was the person who wrote that anonymous op-ed in the New York Times, that insider view about what was going on. And so speculation is just all over the place as to what was really going on, because that's a very nice job, the UN ambassador. She was apparently very good at it. At least Israel certainly thought so. The IDF tweeted out a salutation to Nikki Haley for her support for Israel, which prompted a backlash saying she's supposed to be working for the United States and not Israel. Now, Trump has confirmed that Dina Powell is under consideration to substitute Haley as the United Nations envoy. And again, he repeated the comment that his daughter Ivanka would be a great choice as well, but he would be accused of nepotism. Maybe, but Trump wasn't worried about nepotism when he brought Jared Kushner on board. And frankly, I would take Ivanka over Dina, given Dina's many links to the Clintons. So I wouldn't rule that out entirely. Now, as Nikki Haley resigns, the corporate media is trying to polish up her image. They're trying to describe her as a moderate. And that provoked a reaction as well. I mean, she was pro-war, pro-imperialist, pro-Israel. basically a sycophant. And so there's a pushback on the media spin. Now, here's an interesting little story that came on out. This is in the Washington Examiner, where Bob Corker came on out and said that he wouldn't rule out replacing Nikki Haley. And then said, we've had no conversations about it. Conjecture's really bad for your health. I don't respond to conjecture. In other words, there's no story there. He hasn't been talked to about this. What he's signaling is he's putting his name out there that he would like the job of UN ambassador. He's trying to get his name on the list. So we'll see what happens along that. Now, Hillary Clinton, of course, is out there in the news, making the rounds, starting a speaking tour with Bill Clinton. And she keeps making these little odd statements because apparently Hillary Clinton described the swearing-in ceremony for Brett Kavanaugh as a political rally to try and sort of undermine the integrity of what was going on. And Trump fired back at Hillary saying she doesn't get it. And that's why she lost. All right, we're going to do a shout out now to our on-air affiliates who are just now rejoining our network. More and more people are asking, where is the outrage over Hillary Clinton basically inciting violence with that comment that you cannot be civil with a political party that wants to destroy everything that you believe in? I mean, we're living in a time where Republicans are being shot, stabbed, doxxed, beaten, mailed powder, run out of restaurants, sent death threats. And Hillary's out there saying it's time to be even more uncivil. She's hardly alone. We were getting that stuff from Maxine Waters and Loretta Lynch and a bunch of other people. And again, Hillary's saying if the Democrats win back the Congress, then they'll be nice and polite. There's an implied threat there. If they don't get what they want, it's going to be more violent out there. Tucker Carlson responded saying, so you're not required to be civil to people you disagree with? Do you want to live in that country? I went through 8 years of Obama. I know what it's like to be frustrated, but I was always civil. So good for Tucker Carlson, and he's right. If we abandon civility, if we have two opposed political groups who are descending into fanaticism and willing to resort to violence, we're in serious trouble here. Although so far, thank goodness, there has been very little violence on the GOP conservative side here. Hillary is still trying to defend the double standard that was on display between her attacks both on Trump and on Kavanaugh over these baseless allegations of sexual assault. Remember during the 2016 campaign, there were a bunch of women who came forwards who said, oh, yes, Trump groped me. Trump, you know, fondled me in an elevator. He did all these horrible things. He made me do the antler dance. And it was all carried as if it was true without any corroboration. And so Hillary was questioned, why is it different for Bill Clinton? And she said, well, his allegations are different. I mean, they were investigated, which is not true. There's never been an investigation into Juanita Broderick's accusation of rape here. The only difference that I can see between Kavanaugh and Bill Clinton is that Monica Lewinsky did come up with proof, that blue dress. That seems to be about it here. Now, a little bit of good news. Hillary Clinton is back in court again over the emails. And Judicial Watch has announced a federal court has ordered a hearing for Thursday, this coming Thursday, as a matter of fact, tomorrow, on a motion to compel testimony about the email practices of former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton. And the order was issued by U.S. District Court Judge Emmett G. Sullivan, who so far seems to be one of the good guys. I'd like to see him on the Supreme Court. So this came out of a Judicial Watch Freedom of Information Act lawsuit about the controversial employment status of Huma Abedin, who was the former deputy chief of staff to Clinton. The lawsuit, which also seeks records regarding the authorization of Abedin to engage in outside employment while employed by the Department of State, was reopened because of revelations about the Clinton email system found in another lawsuit, Judicial Watch versus U.S. Department of State. So In 2016, Hillary Clinton was required to submit under oath written answers to Judicial Watch's questions. Clinton objected to and refused to answer questions about how the email system was created and the basis for her claim that the State Department had 90 to 95% of her emails. And Judge Sullivan is looking at that situation again. Now, here's a development just happening today behind all the Sturm und Drang about Hurricane Michael, which deserves a lot of attention for those poor people. but we're still being conscientized about a lot that's going on in the world. And apparently, earlier today, FBI Director Christopher Wray was testifying to the U.S. Senate about domestic spying and government abuse of data. And Senator Rand Paul asked Director Wray if President Trump's conversations are, present tense, getting collected in the FISA database. Director Wray refused to answer, which I think signals, yes, they're spying on the president. The FBI is definitely spying on the president. Okay, a little bit of good news from our Supreme Court. Basically, they ruled that North Dakota can keep their voter ID law in force. And, of course, the liberal justices just went ballistic. Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg said, this will lead to disenfranchisement. If you ask to see ID, this is going to disenfranchise voters. Technically, yeah, it's going to disenfranchise the voters who should not be voting. And then Elena Kagan came on out and said, really, 1 month, 4 weeks, a little less than four. It's way too short a time for them to go back to the old system. And North Dakota election officials are saying, no, we're good to go right now here. And the issue here is they're saying there's a lack of qualifying identification. Well, all it takes is a driver's license or a state-issued ID. And if you want to relax, you know, things a little bit more, the issue here is that illegal immigrants should not be allowed to vote. And the Democrats are just depending on the flood of illegal immigrants to swing Congress back into their control. And they're openly talking about, oh, yeah, let's let the illegal immigrants come on in. Let's let them vote. What's going to happen? The bread and circuses time. The illegal immigrants who have no real love for this country are going to vote themselves milk and honey at your expense. So I'm glad the Supreme Court upheld it, and it's going to be a fight. We need a nationwide voter ID law. If your life is so messed up that you cannot get an identification card that documents you are a U.S. citizen, probably you shouldn't be voting anyway. Let's be brutally frank about it. You don't have the brain cells for it. I mean, it's absurd. You need an ID to buy alcohol. You need an ID to buy tobacco. You need an ID to drive a car. But you're not supposed to have an ID to vote. It doesn't make any sense. Everybody's got IDs. Voting is a right reserved to the citizens of the United States of America, and the Democrats are trying to give it away. Here, we'll give you the right. It's not a right to vote. We'll let you vote, and we'll give you all kinds of free stuff. Vote for us. Yeah, it's estimated 90% of the illegal immigrants who vote will vote Democratic. And there are something like 20 million illegal immigrants in this country right now. It's an absolute epic disaster here. Okay, so let's talk about the war zones. Apparently, over in Syria, the Kurdish People's Protection Units, otherwise known as the YPG, carried out a new attack on Turkish-backed forces in the region of Afrin. And according to the YPG, four members of the Turkish-backed groups were killed in the village of Mariam. Now, this was the first YPG attack in Afrin, and apparently last month the group carried out about 20 attacks. So there's actually been a decrease in YPG military activity in the region of Afrin, and it seems to be linked to additional security measures employed by the Turkish armed forces and their proxies. Now, remember, when this is all over, Afrin is going to become a point of contention, because when Turkey moved into it, they were saying, we're just there to deal with the Kurdish terrorists, and we'll leave when we're done. And now they're showing indications that they might want to just sort of hang on to it, which Syria is not going to be happy about. Let's take a phone call here from Lou in California. Aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Mike, guten Abend.
Guten Abend. Wie geht's Ihnen?
I don't know if you remember me, but I've been gone for a while because of a couple of reasons, being that, for one thing, my old computer, went kaput on me, and I just got a new one finally recently, and I also had a brain tumor and brain surgery and stuff, so I've been away from all that for a year.
Yeah. Please feel better.
No, I'm doing pretty well, thank God, and stuff. I haven't been to work since January, but I'm preparing to return next week to work, you know. I just kind of missed the show and stuff all that time, you know. So how's everything going with you?
Well, you know, everything's going okay. We're still doing what we're doing here. Claire is slowly but surely getting better. And I probably ought to mention right now that I'm only going to do the first 2 hours of tomorrow's show because I have to take her for an MRI on her back. And I need to email the board op to have a best of tape ready to go for hour number three. So, and after that, we're going to decide she may have to have surgery. The big issue right now that we're worried about, of course, is, we have Medicare, we have a supplemental from AARP, but we've been told that there will be a copay over and above what the insurance covers for both the MRI and the potential surgery, and we have no idea what that's going to be.
Well, okay, hopefully everything goes well with Claire and stuff, and, you know, many prayers for you guys and stuff.
Thank you.
Basically, the reason I'm calling is because I want to... I don't know if you noticed that over here in California, the election for the U.S. Senate, we've got two Democrats running and no Republicans. Same for Lieutenant Governor, you know, two Democrats. I mean, two donkeys and no Republicans, you know. And
yep.
I can't believe that is happening and stuff. They said that there's a law. You know, saying that, you know, the winner, you know, that's the way how it is and stuff. Do you guys in Hawaii ever have to face two candidates from the same party for office and stuff?
Occasionally, yes. There's no law that says there has to be one of each party. And apparently California is firmly Democrat, and apparently the GOP wasn't able to field a candidate. Or
yeah.
Maybe they just thought their money was better spent elsewhere.
Yeah, because it's really a shame. It's really ridiculous and stuff, you know, that, you know, for the U.S. Senate, we have that kind of a choice and stuff for Lieutenant Governor and everything, you know. But I don't know. Not too many other states have to deal with that and stuff, you know. Because it's really ridiculous and it's really a travesty, you know. Democrats, the donkeys here in California, they rule the state. But they've made it dysfunctional. They've been in power for too long, you know.
Oh, everywhere the Democrats have been in control, it's just become a disaster. Look at Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
Is a good example.
Yeah, Baltimore, and I don't know what other cities and stuff, but up and down the state. And then also, I think it was Proposition 9 about the division of the state, that they said that the state Supreme Court... you know, that they may have, they said it, you know, wasn't going to, you know, going to vote on it and stuff, you know. How interesting, you know. I mean, I missed all that. Well, I was out of, you know, without a computer and stuff, and I never heard it mentioned. Because I was watching, you know, for news, I was watching BBC and DWP News in Berlin.
All right, well, Lou, I'm sorry to do this. I'm going to have to cut you off here because we have to take a break for commercials.
Okay, Mike, I'll call you later then. Take care.
All right, yeah, call back later and, get well. We'll be right back after these few words.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Attention RBN listeners, Dr. Ignatius Piazza, founder of Frontsight Firearms Training, and Fate have come together to allow RBN to run another fundraiser till the end of the year. We didn't really expect this opportunity, but thankfully, it's here and running as you hear this. We've set a goal of 500 donations by the end of the year, which averages around 6 per day, 7 days a week. When you realize all the folks listening to RBN all hours of the day and night, we think our goal is realistic and extremely critical to keep RBN on the air. If everybody listening will seriously assess their ability with firearms and then take advantage of this opportunity, we feel our goal is very conservative. Please take the time to look over FrontSight's website to get an idea of an amazing facility and the world-class training that's going on there. If this interests you, you likely will have like-minded friends that would like to know. Tell them. If for some reason some listeners are not personally interested, consider sons and daughters, close friends, nieces or nephews, top valued employees, inform club members, share the opportunity with police and fire departments. It's not too early to plan Christmas presents for special people. This fundraiser has come in an extremely critical time for RBN because the dire need for equipment upgrades. We're running on the spare tire currently with no money to fix a flat, and the fuel gauge is bouncing on E. This is one of the most valuable ways you can help RBN financially because you get Commander lifetime membership value that is 50 times your donation and can be passed on forever. How many times during life do you get to leave a legacy? See more details and contact info on our webpage, republicbroadcasting.org, and thank you.
What this country is coming to, I sure would like to know. If they don't do something, by and by, the rich will live and the poor will die. Doggone. I mean, the panic is on. Can't get no wage, can't draw no pay.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show. We're talking about the various conflict areas around the world here. Israel, in the person of Netanyahu, is saying that Israel will continue serious strikes despite the S-300. And apparently Netanyahu told this to Russia's vice premier just yesterday. Israel must continue to hit hostile targets in neighboring Syria despite Moscow's decision to equip Damascus with advanced air defense missiles. And it may be bluff and it may be bluster because there are now serious concerns about just how stealthy America's stealth technology is. Now, normally in the past, stealth aircraft have been deployed with other support aircraft for, like, massive jamming. Remember that F-117 got shot down, was out there operating on its own. They believed it was invisible, and it turned out it wasn't. And there is another issue, and that has to do with the fact that these stealth jets, when they start to turn on their systems, their electronic suppression systems, radio suppression systems, they become visible. And electronic systems on the ground that are listening for those sources of electromagnetic radiation will be able to locate the aircraft and direct missiles to it. Now, there's another story, and this one came out of Sputnik News. Again, there's doubts about just how well this works. Apparently, the Pentagon has ordered additional tests for the F-35 for its stealthiness, meaning it's not so sure about the plane's invisibility to the S-300 missiles. Part of the problem is that the stealth features on the F-35 are based on data that Israel and the United States got from a very early version of the S-300, which they got from Greece all the way back in 1978. And the S-300 systems today are totally different. They've been completely modernized and upgraded. And Russia has definitely put a tremendous amount of effort into defeating the stealth technology. And it's now known that going to lower frequency radars gets past the stealth. Remember, there was this embarrassing situation where the United States, when they were making stink face with North Korea, they flew a bunch of F-22s along the edge of the DMZ as kind of a message, which I don't know what kind of a message you send with an invisible aircraft. And they got a little notice from China saying that China was able to see the aircraft on the older VHF radars. So we'll see. What if it's a bluff? I mean, we know the defense contractors lie about what they're building. They puff it up. It'll do this. It'll do that. And then you talk to the people actually out there trying to use it, and it's junk. So anyway, Series Assad has taken, I think, a very wise and prudent step. And again, it signals this war is finally running down. Assad has offered a full amnesty to all deserters from the Syrian army. It's a general amnesty, and basically announced it yesterday. And it says it applies to Syrian men both inside and outside the country. There are going to be no punishments for desertion. It's just all written off. And there's 4 months to take advantage of the amnesty. People outside Syria have 6 months. And they're saying this is probably going to bring a lot of Syrian refugees home who basically left Syria after deserting the military or avoiding military service. And now they get to go home. There's no reason for them to not go home. Getting on over to this kerfuffle between Turkey and Saudi Arabia, this story about this so-called missing journalist is getting murkier and murkier. And one story coming out of the Daily Mail is that this Jamal Khashoggi was actually smuggled out of the Saudi Arabian consulate in Istanbul and flown back to Saudi Arabia, where he's being held prisoner. But he's alive. And this is supposedly from a source close to the kingdom's royal family. Now, Al Jazeera is actually backing off the story, saying that they were quoting Reuters, and that the Reuters sourcing for their story were some unnamed Turkish officials. So this may have been fake news. Not sure why they went with it right now, because Saudi Arabia is not going to be happy at the way the U.S. media and the U.S. government went with this. I mean, Donald Trump was talking tough the other day, saying we demand answers. So somebody might be trying to sabotage U.S.-Saudi relations. And of course, we know what Middle Eastern nation is always working to remain our only friend in the Middle East. So that may be the origin of that as well. But what it emphasizes is the corporate media has abandoned objectivity and is all about pushing the agenda. Pushing the agenda. Look at Russiagate. They're still pushing that with zero evidence. Russia collusion, Russia collusion, Russia collusion. We'll be right back after these commercials.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring the freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com, or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Some are maxed out all their credit cards. Some are working two jobs and living in cars. Minimum wage won't pay for a roof, won't pay for a drink. If you gotta have proof, distract yourself, Mr. CEO. See how far 5:15 an hour will go. Take a part-time job at one of your stores. I bet you can't make it here anymore.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here, keeping an eye on Hurricane Michael. Down in Israel, 11 Palestinian protesters were wounded by Israeli fire during a protest along Gaza's coast. That happened on Monday. This according to the Gaza Health Ministry. Protesters were marking the 12 years since Israel imposed a blockade on the Gaza Strip, and probably was motivated by Israel's recent reduction in the allowable fishing zone for the Gaza fishermen to operate in. Just an arbitrary, you can only go so many miles from the coastline, and it's their coastline. So again, it's just Israel's campaign of trying to dispirit the Palestinians and just crush out their spirit so they'll give up and go someplace else here. Now, Israel's Minister of Justice, Ayelet Shaked, yesterday warned the High Court of accepting any of the 8 petitions currently filed against the controversial Jewish nation state law. And Shaked warned the High Court of Justice of interfering in the basic law, calling it foolish behavior. Said that any interference by the High Court of Justice would be dangerous, saying in a democracy, the court is not part of the process of writing the Constitution. So apparently they're there is a tremendous amount of pushback on this nation-state law. It certainly made Israel appear to be an apartheid state all around the world. That was everybody's reaction. Oh, if the Jewish population is here and the non-Jewish population is down here, that's apartheid. That's definitely apartheid here. Over in the West Bank, Jewish settlers have vandalized a dozen private vehicles in the Palestinian village of Kariut, basically slashing the tires, spray-painting racist slogans on them. And apparently, the settlers are stepping up their attacks on the Palestinian villages, coincident with the harvesting of the olive crops. Now, olive production from an estimated 27 million olive trees represents a primary source of income for over 100,000 Palestinian families in the West Bank. And you know how the settlers like to target those olive trees, because it takes 10 years after you plant an olive tree before you can get a saleable crop. Now, according to Palestinian figures, more than 650,000 Israeli settlers now live on 196 Jewish-only settlements built with the Israel government approval, in addition to more than 200 so-called settler outposts, which are not officially sanctioned by Israel's government, but which are allowed to basically stand there here. Now, as you know, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu was recently re-interviewed yet again about these corruption charges that he's looking at. And Israel's finance minister, Moshe Kalon, is saying that if Netanyahu is indicted over these corruption allegations, he cannot remain in office. And that, of course, would threaten the current ruling coalition. And Kalon, who heads the Kulana party, said he would pull out of the coalition if Netanyahu were indicted. So, anyway, we were talking the other day about this new law that Israel has where if you post to social media posts that support the Palestinian cause or report on Israeli war crimes, that you could go to jail. But there's a very revealing article that came out of immc.org basically saying that in practice, the law is only being applied to Arab suspects for online incitement to terror cases, never for Jewish suspects. Again, it's an apartheid state. Over in East Jerusalem, a Palestinian was forced to demolish his own home on Monday in the Beit Hanina neighborhood of occupied East Jerusalem. He received demolition threats from the Jerusalem municipality. And so Ayman Naim Kawasba told the Ma'an news agency that he moved out all of his furniture and other belongings and then proceeded to demolish the home in which he had lived along with his wife and six children for a decade. And I can understand why he did that, because normally when Israel comes in to demolish a home, they don't bother with the niceties about furniture and belongings. They just bulldoze everything here. Now, there continues to be a lot of controversy over this Al Jazeera documentary about the Israel lobby in the United States. As you know, they made a documentary about the Israel lobby in Great Britain. It aired in Great Britain. It caused a huge, huge uproar. Israel supporters were screaming anti-Semite, anti-Semite, Jew hater, the usual blah, 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 blah. And a lot of people here in the United States wanted to see the documentary that was made about the Israel lobby in the United States. And bits of it are starting to leak out. And it is a real wake-up call about just how nefarious all of this stuff is. But Al Jazeera has never allowed it to be aired in total. And the question is, why? Who pulled the button on it? And early on, it was suspected that Qatar's ruler, Emir Tamim bin Hamad Al Thani, had ordered Al Jazeera not to air it. Al Jazeera is now saying, no, it really didn't come from him. The emir didn't even contact us. It was just apparently a lot of political pressure brought to bear, threats against its satellite channels. Now, as you know, Israel is trying to claim sovereignty over the Golan. They have occupied it for a long time. They formally annexed it, but no other nation on earth recognized the annexation. And now they're back to talking about it really should be part of Israel. See, this is Israel's idea of peace in the Middle East. We want that peace over there. We want that peace over there. We want that peace over there. Russia is saying no. And what's really interesting is Netanyahu had actually announced Putin understands the territory's importance for Israel, implying that Putin was saying that, yeah, this might be an okay thing. So Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov came on out and said, no, any change of status would violate UN resolutions. All righty. Now, down in South Africa, interesting developments. Now, as you know, South Africa had gone forward with this law that legalized the expropriation of white-owned farmlands to be redistributed to black farmers following the pattern of Zimbabwe, which ended in disaster. And now we hear the same thing is going on over in Namibia. But in South Africa, the largest ethnic group, the Zulu, are speaking out against this. They think it's a bad idea. And the Zulu nation is saying they're ready to cooperate with the country's white farmers to form a farming partnership. Because as things stand right now, there is inadequate food. And most of these farms are sitting idle because they've already been abandoned by farmers who think they're going to be taken away anyways. So why plant a crop you're never going to harvest? So there's a good ruler right there. That chief of the Zulus, it's a smart guy. Getting on back to weapons and weapon systems and whether they're of good quality or not, the United States Army wants to field a new long-range precision strike munition by the early 2020s. And it's called the Long-Range Precision Fires. It's one of the highest priorities for capability modernization. And what they're trying to do is basically have a smart artillery shell, which is not a new idea. Gerald Bull had come up with something like that a while ago. But what they want is an artillery shell with an electronics package that can survive the stress of being fired from an artillery, a piece of artillery, and then actually actively guide itself to the designated target, either with GPS or laser guidance. Not really sure which one they're going to be using. And here's a bizarre story, and this came out of Russia Insider. U.S. Special Forces want America to reverse engineer Russian machine guns. And the reason why they want that is rather bizarre. When the U.S. kicks up a regime change in other countries like Iraq and Syria, they equip the combatants with Russian weapons or copies thereof to sort of maintain that deniability, you know. No, we didn't have nothing to do with it. If we were behind it, they'd have M16s. The problem is that as these weapons break and wear out, they can't find the spare parts. They're having to scrounge through the global arms market trying to buy Russian hardware and spare parts. So the U.S. Special Forces Command, which oversees all of the commando units, says, let's have U.S. companies manufacture Russian and other foreign weapons, copies of them, so we can go on giving these to insurgents in other countries and go on pretending that we have nothing to do with all the bloodshed that's taking place over there. Now, this next story should, I hope, wake some people up about how ill-prepared we are to actually go to war against a military peer like Russia and China. Apparently, the U.S. Government Accountability Office issued a new report basically saying that we have an entire generation of these new smart weapons that are wide open to cyber attacks. And apparently, the GAO sent the Pentagon a warning about this a while back, but apparently only one out of 20 vulnerabilities had been fixed since the last test. And it's a grim picture of military security. Apparently a host of American weapons can easily be hacked. And that, of course, might explain the humiliation of the USS Donald Cook, Now, for those of you who don't remember, USS Donald Cook was an Aegis ship patrolling the Black Sea, and it was approached by a Russian electronic warfare aircraft, just one. And this electronic warfare made 12 passes over the USS Donald Cook, and on every pass, all the systems on the Donald Cook shut down. The radars wouldn't work, missile guidance wouldn't work. Apparently, reportedly, freaked out the crew, you know, who had been basically brainwashed with what's called Aegis arrogance. You know, we can go anywhere, we can do anything, and the Russians just got done saying, no, you can't. The Russians have put a lot of investment into electronic warfare, and it's apparently gone beyond simple jamming. If they can actually get into those computers. And there was one part of this GAO report where a penetration study was run on some of the major Defense Department computers which are involved in managing battles. And they were able to get in and literally reboot the entire computer system. So can you imagine Donald Trump saying, yes, let's go to war with Russia, and all of a sudden, all the computers on all the U.S. weapons shut down? A little bit of an embarrassment there. All right, let's talk. We actually have a caller on the line. Dustin in New Jersey. Aloha, Dustin. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
It's negative little me, Mike. Yeah, Mike, the phone call you had yesterday from a gentleman, he said I was negative, he's not going to call back in 6 months. Now, why would you not call back and wait 6 months? There's a lot of stuff going on just because of me being negative. I think it was about the economy because I'm very negative on it, obviously, because if you look today, it was down 700, you know.
Okay, I mean, you're not the only person who's negative on the economy. I'm negative on the economy. A lot of experts are saying there is a major correction coming. It may have even started today. The Dow dropped 800 points. That's over 3%. And I'm waiting to see what the futures are going to be for tomorrow morning, whether there's going to be the start of a panic. And no doubt the plunge protection team is already rushing over there with a whole bunch of cash to try and prop it up just one more time, but they can't keep that up forever.
Yeah, Mike, if a caller from British Columbia, he didn't have ask his other question yesterday about mortgage-backed securities. Hopefully he'll call back today and talk about that. But, Mike, you had a couple callers yesterday talking about one with the robotics. He just didn't understand. If somebody is working 40 hours and they get dropped to 20 with the same pay because of a robot taking over, that's 20 hours less of you making money. You won't consume. You can't consume if you got 20 hours less work. He didn't understand.
Yeah, if you go from 40 hours to 20 hours, your boss isn't going to keep on paying you your full salary. Your pay is going to be cut in half, and that exacerbates the situation. The caller was basically on this idea that increased production is a good thing. Not always. Production. Levels of production have to be determined by demand. And if the demand is not there, which is what we're seeing in the retail markets right now, if the demand isn't there, boosting production is not going to fix things. If anything, it's going to run out the cash reserves of the manufacturers that much faster. They're going to have to pull back because they're not making sales.
And this is a consumption-based world, right? I mean, I think the U.S. is 65 to 70% consumption. So, I mean, you need consumption for the gears to keep turning. If if consumption stops, the gears stop turning. You know,
Americans have been trying to pull back from consumption, but a lot of what drives that is this planned obsolescence, this corporate system, which requires us to buy the same things over and over and over again. High-end cars are only designed to last for 8 years. The low-end cars only for 5 years. Same thing with computers and cell phones. They're not designed to last. They're designed to basically fail, go into a landfill, and you're forced to go on out and buy the same thing over and over again. So it's not by choice that Americans are over-consuming. That's just what the marketplace has offered up to them.
Hey Mike, how was it back in the olden days when they built the radio? It lasted for a real long time, but yet those companies were still able to stay in business. How is that possible? And now they
Because the population was growing. There were always new people who were buying radios. You know, kids left home. They wanted a radio of their own. You're right. The radios lasted forever because if the tube burned out, you just went and bought a new tube. Then you had the transistor revolution, and radios all of a sudden became disposable. They were no longer you couldn't repair them any longer. Well, really smart nerds could. The same thing, cars back then would last forever if you took care of them. Again, today they are intentionally designed to wear out and fail to force you to buy another one. Dustin, I'm going to hold you over this commercial break, so don't hang up, and we'll be right back.
I'm getting older and noticing that my body just doesn't work as well as it used to. So I like to keep fit as possible by hitting the gym a few times a week. Recently, I started having a nagging bicep pain, and it got so bad I couldn't even lift the weights. When I was complaining about it to a friend, he told me about Angioprim. He said chelation helps remove toxins, heavy metals, and cholesterol in veins and arteries that may cause blockages. You know, after just 1 week of taking Angioprim, the pain was gone, and now I'm back in the gym full strength. Scientific research proves the active ingredient in Angioprim has superior oral chelation action that helps promote cardiovascular health. So to learn more, go to angioprim.com. That's Angioprim.com. Or talk to a trained consultant. Call Angioprim toll-free at 877-882-7221. You'll feel better with more energy. Call 877-882-7221 or go to the website angioprim.com.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Many people write about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you a few from Amazon.com. My wife and I both use Extendivite and are very pleased with the results. It has helped to stabilize our blood pressure and to make both of us feel healthier. Good product and goodbye. So far, so good. I've been taking Extendivite 3 times a day, only a short while now, but already I've noticed the circulation in my hands and feet improving. They tingle. I like the idea of taking something herbal rather than pills. I take Extendivite 3 times a day every day. I think this supplement has helped with my increased fitness regime and to lower my blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite. You can burn up our mosques and our homes and our schools, but our spirit will never die. We will not go down in Gaza tonight.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show. We're talking with Dustin in New Jersey, and we're talking about the dynamics of the consumer economy and it all does hook together, and you can't just get on an idea of saying, well, if we increase production, prices will go down. Levels of production are determined not by the efficiency of the factories, although obviously efficiency does lower costs, but by demand. If there's no demand for a particular product, then increasing production accomplishes nothing. In fact, it causes more harm than good.
And Mike, yet another phone caller who was talking about tariffs or, you know, or a tax, obviously, because we all know that. It's like a VAT tax, but I mean, it's good for bringing jobs back. But he was bringing up the Civil War and World War II. Those days are gone. This is 2018, man. There's competition out there now. You know, like,
yes.
That's one thing people don't understand. China is like 85% of the manufacturing of the world now. That's just the reality. I know people don't want to hear that, but that's a fact. You know, and hey, my fault, you know?
No. Well, once the United States broke free of Great Britain, they launched an industrial boom and went right into competition with Britain. And they did very, very well because there wasn't really anybody else out there to compete against. But it is a different world. And let's just look at the empirical evidence. We're not seeing the factories being rebuilt. We're not seeing the jobs come back to our shores. And it's causing a tremendous amount of hostility with these other countries. The IMF is now saying they're expecting a slowdown in growth for both China and the United States because of this tariff war.
And Mike, I want to just say, Phil, I hope you get better. That's in California, and good luck with your Windows 10 computer that you just got. And Mike, did you hear, well, you know there's that Windows 10 problem where they had just released the update where it was removing people's, like, save files, folders. Did you hear
yes.
about that?
And yeah, well, Windows has already withdrawn that update. And the really annoying part of it is this bug was being reported to them by the insiders who got to pre-test the new cut of Windows 10. They have this group of people that they'll send out a pre-release, and they'll get bug reports. And apparently a lot of people had reported this happening, and Microsoft went ahead and released the update without addressing the issue.
I hate to break this to everybody, but Windows 10 is the last operating system we're getting. It's just going to be this from now on. Updates, maybe paid service packs. That's the future, unfortunately. You know, it's going to be patched, broken, fixing things, breaking other things. It's going to be like that for probably for the rest of the operating system's life, which is indefinite right now. But, hey, Mike, did you hear about what Intel was doing about, with a company called Principal Technologies? They released the new i9-9900K. Well, it wasn't released. It was like it's pre-order now from Intel, but they had sanctioned this review by Principal Technologies, and they reviewed it against AMD's processor, but they gimped AMD's processor to make it look like the Intel was way better than the AMD was. It was very shady. So if you ever can look at look that up, Intel Principal Technologies controversy. Thanks, Mike.
Okay, Dustin, I got to let you go. We got to take a station identification break. We'll be back with more phone calls in hour number two after these few words.
This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $500? It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsight.com to make it happen. You will hear this offer only on this radio network. Help keep Arbion alive. Tell 5.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.